would like to do that, but he is telling you that unless you do the things that God commands you to do, you're going to die and go to hell. In other words, it's not a request at all. When Peter told them to be baptized in Jesus' name, he never come to them and said, "Now, if you people like the doctrine that I'm teaching, or if you agree with me, or if you don't think you made a mistake, and if you feel like good, be baptized in Jesus' name." He never done that.
Amen.
Peter stood up and told them that a wicked, sinful, cursed generation had crucified the Lord of glory, and today that God has raised Christ from the dead, and said, "I command every one of you, because of your evil doings, to repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." And he told them, if they did, they'd die and go to hell. So today I'm telling you in the name of Jesus that if you don't repent of your evil, wicked, ungodly, unrighteous ways, you're going to die and go to hell. And I command every one of you to get away from your backbiting, your gossiping, your evil, and straighten up and walk right with God.
Amen.
I need you to charge in Jesus' name that you do it, or you're going to die and go to hell. Now, I notice Paul also here, in dealing with those that did not work. You may have mentioned this morning. I had a lot of trouble down around here. Everybody feels called to trouble. And they use the term preach, but they want to trouble. And they don't want to work. Paul says here, and I'm preaching the gospel in case somebody thinks I'm meddling, I'm still commanding.
Praise the Lord.
I'm still commanding. He said, command those people that they get them a job and they go to work somewhere and they eat their bread with quietness. And the Bible said, labor that you might have to eat.
Amen.
That right?
Amen.
And command them to do that and tell them to stop being busybodies in other people's matters and going about from house to house and from place to place, causing trouble.
Amen.
All right. Now, with quietness, you settle down and eat your own bread. You're supposed to labor. You're supposed to work. I said this morning that everybody needs a job.
Amen.
Somebody came to me the other day. I'll tell you, it was right common. They told me, they said, now, there's a couple of brethren, they said, I told them, brethren, that they need to be in church, and they got no business being out of church. I said, well, that's strange. I said, the brother told me, he told you, you ought to be in church, you didn't have nothing to see now. I said, that's what he told me. I tell you what I believe. I believe that if we quit telling people that they ought to be in church and go to church, and show them that we're going to church, then they'll follow us to church if they got God. And if they don't come to church, they haven't got God to begin with.
Hallelujah.
Like I said something the other day about men beating on their wives. A man that beats his wife, he's never been born again. Somebody said he's in a backslidden condition. He's not in a backslidden condition. Never got anything to backslide from.
Hallelujah.
Trying to be his wife, well, he ain't never known God to start with.
Hallelujah.
Who ever heard of the nature of Jesus Christ beating on his wife?
Right.
Somebody hollering, screaming, slapping, putting her down under her slander and saying, you can't do this with I say, do that. You can't do this with I don't you know that that's foolishness? If I get down and I say, you can't pray us, I tell you to pray. You can't read the Bible us, I tell you to read the Bible. You can't cook a meal us, I tell you. That's foolish. That's
a devil.
Why don't you never listen to no foolishness like that? Don't you never live with a man who beats you and knocks you around. You get your apartment somewhere and you go off over there and you tell him and he gets slain and straighten out, you'll come back home.
Amen.
That's right. Don't go off over there and frolic. You women that's running around with your husbands, running everywhere else, I still say God will turn you up.
Amen.
That's right. There's a man over here in Athens I've been praying about. There's a dirty, low-down, operating, filthy man over there that I've been praying about. I pray God will tear him up if he don't straighten up. You say, Brother Pike, what do you say? I'm telling you exactly what I've been doing.
Praise the Lord.
That's right. He's done every dirty, low-down, filthy, scummy, messy thing he could reproach me and reproach the church and reproach my people. And I pray that God will literally tear me out of the frame if he don't get rid of his foolishness and straighten up. That's what I'm praying. Somebody said, I didn't know you pray like that. Well, you do now.
Amen.
In case you didn't know it, you know it now. Now, David said, God, make their table a snare unto them.
Amen.
Let the wicked always go back. Is that right?
Amen.
That's right. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day.
Amen.
The Lord is looking. Somebody said, well, don't you believe in mercy? The Bible said, God, to God, it is a righteous thing. Are you listening?
Amen.
Paul tells us in the word, to God, it is a righteous thing to recompense tribulation unto them that trouble us. Is that right? Yes. Somebody said, well, God wouldn't do nothing like that, but if I, the Bible said to God, it is a righteous thing. It is a righteous act. It is a righteous judgment. To pray that God will move the wicked out of the way until they all perish from all the face of the earth. Is that right?
Hallelujah.
Somebody said, ain't you begging for mercy? I certainly am. I'm praying, God, if that man will repent, straighten out, and get right with God, you give him mercy. If he rises up and keeps on with his filth, you tear him out of the frame.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Now somebody said, where do you get that?
Amen.
Paul turned around to a man and said, child of the devil. Is that what he told him? Child of the mystery, the people of God. He said, thou shalt be blind and see. Is that right?
Amen.
Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down and give me a stick. Is that right?
Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Folks, we're not playing.
Amen.
I believe that people that are not doing the right thing need to get straightened up and do the right thing.
Amen.
Now, I've heard a lot of things, and I don't know whether they're right or not, but I'm your pastor. I'm your minister here. God put me in this area.
Amen.
Nobody didn't let me in.
Amen.
God put me here.
Amen.
And God put me here, and I'm trying to teach you and trying to lead you. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Some of you need to go to work.
Amen.
Some of you ladies need to clean up your house. Quit leaving it so messy, so filthy, so dirty. We had some trailers, some of them moved out and down off the campground. And they checked it out, and it was low down, dirty, and filthy. I said, low down, dirty, and filthy. Just a scummy mess. I like to say it like it is, so you'll know what it is. I said it was low down, dirty, and filthy.
Amen.
They left it in a mess. You know why they do that? It's because they figure we're just going to be here long enough to do this and long enough just to get a dollar, long enough just to do such and such thing, and then we're going to be on our way. But has it ever occurred to you that somebody's going to continue to live down there? Has it ever occurred to you that somebody's got their home down there? That somebody's got their children down there? Has it ever occurred to you that here in this area that we've got to keep a good name with man and with God and with the authorities to be a light in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation? Has it ever occurred to you that you just can't come in here and make bills and run off and leave them and not pay rent, not do nothing, just come in and hide me like a bat and just run off and leave things? Has it ever occurred to you that you can't do that? If it hasn't, it's time to do it.
Amen. Amen.
I want you to know just how bad this situation is. To me, it's a lot worse than I'm able to express. A lot worse than I'm able to express. So then Paul here, in his teachings, he exhorts us that we should work. He exhorts us that we should labor with our hand. That we should love one another. We should bear the infirmities of the weak. Is that right? And it tells us that if a brother won't work, if he's just the kind of brother that absolutely ain't gonna work, and every time you meet him, he's got some reason why he can't work, then the Bible said, let him go hungry till he learns to work. That's good old-fashioned self-managed. The Bible said, let him just do without bread, and let him go hungry until he gets tired of being lazy and then goes to work. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that what Paul said?
Yeah.
Paul said, if you don't work, neither shall you eat. Is that right?
Yeah.
In my understanding, that means let him go hungry until he learns to quit being lazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the way I interpret it. If you got a better interpretation, you can tell me at the service. We'll add that to it too. I believe that if we'll quit gossiping, quit backbiting, quit tearing down, quit causing division, quit feeling that God can't take care of us in one room, we've got to go everywhere else to take care of us. But I think we do something.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Right.
As I said this morning, if we'll quit trying to evangelize the local people, and if we're called to do something, go do something to somebody that's out there that's in need, then I believe God will bless us.
Right.
I noticed in the writings of Paul, I read it to you this morning, Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness, for God has been made manifest in a human body. Is that right?
Amen.
We have so much contrary, so much resentment, so much fault fighting with men of God and people that are trying to manifest Christ. And if you ever say any good thing about it, we have it all out war. Jealousy. Not just me, but us. He said, well, you talking about you, Brother Black? I'm talking about others.
Amen.
I can say something good about another brother, and I feel another brother's spirit rise up and get jealous. Or somebody can say something about another brother, you feel somebody else's spirit rise up and get jealous. But the Bible said that God was actually manifested in a human body.
Amen.
That the nature of Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today, God is still being manifested in a human body.
Yes.
If you can show me anywhere in the Holy Scripture where God ever came into the world any way but in a human body, I'd like to see it.
Amen.
He said, I'll show signs in the heavens.
Amen.
I'll show signs in the earth. Did he say that? Fire, vapor, and smoke. Isn't that right? I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Isn't that right?
Amen.
But when he comes to visit with us, he comes in a human body.
Amen.
Isn't that right? When he came to Abraham, did he come over there as just a puff of smoke? Or did he come in a human body?
Amen.
The Bible said he sat down and he ate.
Amen.
They washed his feet. He ate just like everybody else ate.
Right.
Somebody said, well, that wasn't God. But the Bible said when Abraham communed with him, Abraham said, shall not the Lord of all, the judge of all the earth, do right?
Hallelujah.
And it was God when he quit communing with Abraham when he left. Is that right?
Amen.
It was Elohim himself.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
In the days of Jesus, when God came into the world, did he come in a human body?
Right.
In the days when he lived in Israel, did he come down in a human body in Moses? Wasn't that a human body that he used?
Amen.
Saying, I'll make you God unto Aaron. Is that right?
Amen.
Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, them days are past. God don't do that anymore. Why, God's days ain't past to do those things. God never changed. He always does the same.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He always works as he did. Is that right?
Amen.
So then he hasn't changed. Somebody said, Brother Pike, he made Moses a God to people. You don't think he do a thing like that today. Oh, he's the only God now.
Hallelujah.
The Bible's not called he gods. He's not just made one God to people. He just made a lot of gods to people now.
Hallelujah.
I mean, he's got gods all around everywhere.
Yes, amen.
He made Moses God to Aaron. He made you and I God to the whole world. How do you believe that's Bible?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
So then, Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that we ought to start acknowledging God in one another. If we don't start acknowledging God in one another, we're never going to get to heaven. I said, you can see God in me, and I can see God in you. We're never going to see God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Right.
The Bible tells us that no man has seen God in any time. I hear people say, well, when we get to heaven, we're going to see God. Somebody say, you'll be sitting on your throne, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. You don't believe that. You don't believe that about that. There's no teaching, there's no scripture, no place in the Bible where God ever said there's going to be three people sitting in heaven. The Bible said that no man has seen God at any time. No man. Somebody said, well, Jesus saw God. Jesus was a man, wasn't he? Is that right?
Amen.
He saw God just exactly like you and I see God.
Amen.
That's right. Somebody said, what do you mean, Brother Pike? The eyes of his understanding be enlightened, he comprehended God in his fullness. That's exactly the way it is for the eyes of man. No, he said, that couldn't be, but it is.
Amen.
The Bible says the man Christ Jesus, and no man has seen God. No man has seen God at any time. Moses never seen God. No man, Elijah never seen God. No man's ever seen God because God is a spirit. No man has ever seen God at any time. The Bible said, no man has seen God nor can see God.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, we haven't seen, but someday we will. But the Bible says you've never seen or you never will see.
Right,
amen. Amen.
Somebody's going to wait just a minute. Wasn't Jesus Christ God? All right, if that's true, let's look at this. Jesus was preaching to them, and they said something about God. All right, here stands Jesus. He's God. That's what he teaches. Is that right? All right, let's just see. Here stands Jesus. Somebody starts saying something about God. They're looking like straight at Jesus. But Jesus says to them, you've never seen God. You've never seen his shape at any time.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
I said they were looking right at Jesus. If the Jesus-only people are right in their teaching, and Jesus was God according to what they said, then why is it that the Bible said they were looking straight at Jesus, and Jesus said you've never seen God shape at any time? Never, never, never. Somebody said, well, wasn't that his shape standing there? I just told you what the Bible said. Said, well, maybe they didn't see Jesus, but they did see Jesus. They were looking at Jesus. You know why that God said that Jesus said you've never seen chicken in time? Because God is a spirit.
Amen.
God fills the heavens. God fills the earth. God's everywhere.
Amen.
There is only one contact with the eternal spirit, and that is through the human person of Jesus Christ, his son, the son of God. There is no way to contact God except that way. Somebody said, well, don't you believe that Jesus was God? The Bible said God is a spirit. When Jesus came up out of the grave and they said a spirit, Jesus said, no, a spirit don't have flesh and bones like the Son of God.
Amen.
You say you never told me that's your Bible. Bible's a preacher. You said, but I don't believe it like that. Well, I don't care if you don't believe that's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Somebody said, but that ain't what they teach.
Well, I don't care what they teach. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
I was years ago wondering and worrying about what man taught. They teach everything.
Amen.
That's why they teach man come from monkey. They teach everything.
Amen.
I believe what the Bible said. They saw Jesus when Jesus came up out of the grave. They went over there and they said, it's a spirit. Jesus said, fill me. A spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me hanging. Is that right?
Amen.
Right over there with Thomas, fell down. Thomas said, Lord, I believe. Now look, I'm going to interpret this. I want you to listen just a minute. Thomas said, I believe. When? Jesus said, Thomas, you've been an unbeliever. He said, stick your hands here in my side.
Amen.
Philip said, see, this really me, Thomas. There's a hole right there, see. I'm cut by evil spirit in me. So stick your hands in me. So Thomas said, you see, he's a real man. He's a real gross spikes of man. So stick your fingers in me. Thomas said, Lord, I believe. You know what Jesus more or less said to him? Thomas, sure you believe, because man looks on the outward appearance. You believe what you see, but that's not faith.
Amen.
He said, faith is the man that believes and hasn't seen.
Amen.
Blessed is the man that can believe who's never seen.
Hallelujah.
You've done no more than a sinner, brother Thomas. You've done just what everybody does. You just look. Is that right?
That's right.
So then Jesus said, fill me. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit.
Amen.
God is a spirit. My Father is a spirit. My Heavenly Father is a spirit.
Amen.
But that Heavenly Father don't have any flesh and bones.
Praise the Lord.
That really not plenty from it, don't it? I said, that really turns down the Trinitarian teachings, don't it?
Amen.
Don't let turn down the Trinitarian teachings. He said, my Father is a spirit, and a spirit don't have any flesh and bones.
Amen.
As you see now. So they're wrong. Is that right? Somebody said, that makes Jesus God. But he said, a spirit don't have any place to go. That makes both of them wrong, doesn't it?
Amen.
I said, it makes both of them. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, do you believe that the Jesus name is wrong and the Trinity is wrong too? You're right. No, that's not what I believe. I believe the Jesus name teachings are wrong according to the oneness teachings. And I believe that the Trinity teachings are wrong. And I believe the Bible is right.
Amen.
That's what the Bible teaches. So then, what is the answer to it? Somebody said the answer is Jesus is God. The answer is, great is the mystery of godliness, for God, who had no flesh and bones, God is a spirit, was manifested in a body, all flesh and bones. Is that right?
Hallelujah.
Somebody said, well, Brother Lamb, you say, six of one, half of the other, don't that mean Jesus is God? No more than it means you're God. No more than it means I'm God. Somebody said, what are you talking about? I mean that God's Spirit is manifested in me too. Somebody said, but you're a son of God. The Bible said Jesus was a son of God.
Amen.
That Adam was a son of God.
Amen.
What is the mystery of God? That God is just as much God in you as God is in me. And just as much in me as he was in Jesus Christ, the Lord.
Amen.
Somebody said, do you really believe that?
Amen.
I believe because that's what the Bible says. And I'll tell you something else. That's the only kind of belief that's going to translate.
Amen.
That's the only kind of belief that's going to take you into heaven. Because the mystery of the whole thing is Christ in you, the whole glory. Not God in Christ, but Christ in you.
Amen.
Somebody said, I believe God is in Christ. But that wasn't what he said, believe. He said, the mystery of the whole thing was Christ in you.
Amen.
The whole glory. I believe that God is in Christ, but do you believe Christ is in you?
Hallelujah.
That's the whole glory. He said, what do you mean that? Any more I'm going to try to believe that. But there's more to it than that. You've got to believe according to the understanding from glory to glory, from righteousness to righteousness, from revelation to revelation, Christ in you, the whole glory translating you into another world.
Yeah.
Is that right? Through a blissful act of God. From faith to faith, you're changed. So then the doctrines of the dogmas are all of them wrong. Amidst the dogmas and amidst the doctrines, there's some good in all of them. But they're all wrong. The Baptists is wrong. The Pentecostals is wrong. But Jesus made one of his people wrong.
Amen.
They're wrong. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, they're still wrong.
Amen.
Now, you say, you mean you don't believe you're supposed to be baptized in Jesus' name? I didn't say that's wrong. That's mine.
Amen.
That's not wrong. But you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I certainly did. That's not wrong. I believe what the Bible says.
Amen.
I believe with all of my heart what the Bible says. I believe that my Heavenly Father was, is, and forever shall be an eternal spirit. I believe that. The invisible God, Paul called him. He is the invisible, eternal, almighty, all power, ever present, the omnipresent, the omnipotent God. I believe that he is. That's what I believe. I believe that the only contact with the eternal spirit is through the mediation of the human body, Jesus Christ. And that eternal, all-powerful God will come to me through the body of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And that I can talk to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that when I get out of chamber and I walk in the great city of God, that city that Abraham searched for that had foundations, and I made the statement of the foundation with the teaching of the 12 apostles, when I get out there and I see the city that's got a foundation, I believe that I will see one person sitting on the throne, and that will be Jesus Christ. And the eternal spirit will minister to every individual throughout the world through that body. One mediator between man and God, and the man Jesus Christ. Is that right? I believe that that's what will get you what it will be. The Bible says no man has seen God at any time, nor can see him. That means we never have seen him, and we never will see him. But Jesus Christ alone dwells in that body, having immortality. So then the only God there is Jesus, inasmuch as God has personified himself in Jesus. And the only God there is you and I, inasmuch as God has personified himself in you and I. And Jesus is the headship of that many-membered body, and we are the members of that body. Is that right? And we've got to love one another and regard one another, not to know them after human flesh, but to know them as flesh and his flesh and bone his bone.
Amen.
Is that right? We've got to have a divine communication and relation with one another as loving our brother, not his word, but indeed. And we've got to come together on the basis of the understanding of God's word.
Amen.
To speak the same thing. To see eye to eye and to do that which is pleasing in his sight. I honestly believe, sincerely believe, that if we'll ever come to the acknowledgement that God is the Spirit, that we won't be looking for God out there or somewhere to come, we'll believe God's here. If I just believe that Jesus Christ is God individually, and I can't believe that he's the Son of God according to what the Bible says, then I break the Holy Scriptures.
Amen.
I believe in my heart that if I believe that Jesus is God just as a man, just as an individual, and don't accept the fact that he's the mediator, then I put him in a position that he's gone, I can't see him, he's nowhere, and I can't get in touch with him, and then I'm left all alone. Is that right? But if I take him as the crucified Son of God, that's resurrected from the dead, that's set at the right hand of the Father, and he's the mediator between me and God, he's interceding for me with the eternal spirit, I will feel that I can get the Holy Spirit to come down here and just literally feel this place.
Yeah.
And every one of us can enjoy the person of Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Ghost. Is that right?
Yeah.
On the day of Pentecost, Jesus came back what? As a personified God in the spiritual form. Is that right?
Yeah.
A human being could never be a measure. How many know that? When Jesus was here, he couldn't be in marriage. Why? Because he was the Son of God. When he was here, if he was with Jim, he couldn't be with me. If he was with me, he couldn't be with Charlie. If he was with Charlie, he couldn't be with Frank. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
If he was with Brother Taylor, he couldn't be with nobody else.
Amen.
Because he was a man. Is that right?
Hallelujah.
But when he died, he was resurrected from the dead and went back to heaven and become one with the eternal spirit. He came back on the day of Pentecost as the Holy Ghost and the faith can be in every heart,
everywhere.
I don't have a measure of you, you can have a measure of
you. Hallelujah.
I can have a measure of you. No one else
can.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're just as rich as you as he is me. Just as rich as me as he is you. Is that right?
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus.
pleasure out of sight.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
God's good. A measure of barley for a penny. See that you hurt not the oil and the wine. A measure of fine flour for a penny. So then, he said, until I can get a unity, till we all come into the unity of the faith, into the full measure of the full stature of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the ordination of the church. For God has predestinated us and foreordained that we all should come to the perfect fullness, the full stature of the full image of Jesus. Is that right?
Amen.
So then you are God, my brother, in the flesh. And God is depending on you to recognize one another. Don't look at one another according to the fault. Don't recognize this brother over here because he's staggered and he stumbles. Don't recognize it in the flesh because he just has a 30-fold, or this sister because she has a 60-fold. Don't recognize it like that. If the guy is 64 and 34, then his fault, overlook the 34 because that part is dead and buried. Recognize the 64 of the Spirit because there's no fault in it. You can't lay nothing to the charge. If you speak against him, God won't receive it. He only marks down a black mark on your record saying that you spoke against the Son of God. And inasmuch as you did it to the body, you breathe the Spirit in it, and you've done it unto him, you're rewarded for it. But if you do good unto him, in the day of judgment, he'll say, I was hungry, you brought me an offering, you gave me a biscuit, bought me a pair of shoes. Is that right? Somebody said, when so you like this, Lord? He said, over there when Jimmy needed a suit, Jimmy needed a biscuit. Over there when Brother Child needed a helping hand, back there when Bucky needed prayer, or Brother Gilbert needed something done, you did it for him. Said, it's on your record.
Amen.
Now, if it's on your record, and God is not forgetful of your labor in the Lord, then my brothers and sisters, you can be assured of one thing, and that is that it is also on your record in heaven where you mistreated the members of the body.
Amen.
How many of you believe that the saints shall judge the world? Let me see your hands.
How
do you believe that when the saints stand there under judgment, what they're going to be doing is judging the world, and the way they're going to judge the world is according to you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. Is that right? When the Bible said and the book was open, how do you believe that was Jesus?
Amen.
How do you know that Jesus is the book? Somebody said, I don't see that. But the Bible said it came in the volume of the book.
Amen.
He knew the book. It was open in count.
Amen.
What did the Bible say? That the books were open.
Hallelujah.
How do you read those books?
Yeah.
The Bible says that the epistle known and read all
these.
Read the book.
Yeah.
Out of those books, the world is judged.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Great.
Well, sir, you said, how are you going to judge? Out of those books. Whatever is wrote in my life, where I've been mistreated, where I've been hurt, whatever has been done to me, he's going to judge the people. Did you know that Israel, in the day of the believing, God will open up their life and every nation that ever mistreated. Every, just like, for instance, let me drop this in right quick here. Just like kids in your ear, mocking Israel, being the apple of God's eye. That's what I'm saying?
That's right.
Someday God will judge America for mistreating Israel.
That's right.
The Bible said in that day he'll put the sheep nations on one side and he'll put the goat nations on another.
Amen.
He didn't say goats individually, did he? He said the goat nations and the sheep nations he separated.
Amen.
And to believe him, the Jews, being the head of the nation, will actually judge every nation. And he'll separate the goat nation and the sheep nation. Is that right?
That's right.
Amen.
He'll do it in the day of judgment.
Amen.
Now, that is judging them by the Jews. But when it comes to an individual affair, God deals with them as a nation. But us, let whosoever will, an individual affair. But when God goes to judge us, or rather judge the world by us, now, how do you know that you're never going to be judged?
Amen.
Now, come on, folks.
Amen.
After all my teaching, y'all got no response there.
Amen.
How do you know that saints of God will never enter into
judgment?
Never. Never. If you're never going to enter into judgment, what are you so sad about? What are you worried about? Somebody said, well, I'm worried because I'm afraid it won't make it in. Well, how can you worry about not being in the house, getting in the house when you're already in the house?
Yes. Hallelujah.
How can you worry about not going to heaven when you're already in heaven?
Amen.
How can you worry about being saved when you're already saved?
Hallelujah.
How can you worry about whether or not you're going to get eternal life when you're already got eternal life?
Hallelujah.
How can you worry about being resurrected from the dead when you're already passed?
Hallelujah. Amen.
You are going to be saved. Why are you so saved?
Amen.
Why are you so saved?
Amen.
Right.
you must not understand what I say. Now, so then you'll never be judged. Folks, you'll never come into judgment.
Amen.
Folks that don't understand the Scripture, they'll take the Scripture and they'll try to do the best they know. And they'll say, well, the Bible said, every knee shall bow. And your knees never bow.
Amen.
Every tongue shall confess. Every tongue will confess, he's right.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
And everyone shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Have you ever appeared before the judgment seat of Christ? Somebody said, what do you mean? The Bible says judgment begins at the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. Whoever sins, you remit, shall be remitted. Is that right?
Amen.
I will say this right here, and bring it back to your ears and this ears, and we'll quote. Peter said, though you know these things, I just want to stir the upper mind of the members. How many feel that after God has raptured us out of this world, translated us, called us to be with Him, made us His bride, and brings us back together with Him in Revelation 19, and lets us live 1,000 years on the new earth with Him? How do you believe that He's going to take us to the judgment to see whether or not we're fit to be His wife? How can you marry a woman and live with her 10 years and then see if she's fit to be your wife? I want to know something about it before I'm married, wouldn't you?
Amen.
The Bible says concerning me, let these things first be done, prove. Then let it take the office of deacon. Is that right? That's when God works. Now hold on just a minute. Don't get restless. I'm going to let you go in just a few minutes.
Good
job, man. How can I say what I'm saying?
Amen.
All right, now, remember that a Christian will never come into the judgment. Never. He will never stand before God to be judged for sins. Never. How can you judge a man to see if you're going to give him eternal life when the Bible says you've already given eternal life? How can you judge a man to see if he's worthy of eternal life or going to heaven when the Bible says he's already passed from death into life? He's already got eternal life. He's already been translated into the kingdom of God. How can you judge him to see whether he's fit to be a son of God when you've already said he's a son of God? There's no such thing as a Christian ever being judged. You say, but the Bible said everyone shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I know that. But I remind you again, the saints of God appear there to judge the world.
Amen.
They do not appear there to be judged. They appear there to stand with God that they might judge the world according to their rejection of what they've taught them and what they've done to them. Is that right?
Amen.
Well, you don't have nothing to worry about. When you lay down, if you pass away before Jesus comes back in the clouds of heaven, if you lay down and you face your death pillow, my brother, you're not dying. Don't let nobody tell you that you're dying. The Bible said Lazarus sleeping. I'm going to awake him. God doesn't call that death. I wish we just had some time to go into the difference and show you what death is and show you what sleep is. When I say that, you know, you can't grasp it. You can't comprehend it. You say, well, I don't know if I can still death to us. But if I could show you by the Scripture, if I had time to go into it, to show you, you'd say, you know, you're right. I don't have any fear of death anymore because that really isn't death. I'm not just making a statement. It is a true known fact. It isn't death. You go to sleep. That's
amen,
all.
Amen.
I said, what is death? Now, I can't go back and bring it out. But she said, what is death? It's the soul that sinned.
Yes.
Is that right?
Amen.
Now, my brother, if you want to know what death is,
that's right.
It's when that soul ceases to be in the presence of God and is cut off from the eternities to wander to the dry places and to go down to the chambers of fire.
Amen.
Is that right? Close your eyes because this old body don't function properly anymore. Don't mean a thing. The man that lives in this little house is still just as much alive as he ever was. God is standing right there to welcome him home. That's right. He just moved out of this one. And Peter said, well, this one's folded up and got another one serving in heaven, not made in hand. Is that right?
Amen.
So then, there's no need for you to worry. Jesus sits here, not little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That is, he wants you to have the kingdom. Press into the kingdom. Take the kingdom. He wants you to rise up and take it. It's his good pleasure for you to have it. And he said the saints would rise and take it. One day they'll realize that it's his good pleasure to take it. Somebody would say, well, Brother Park, if I know how to take it, I'd just get up and go do it right now. Now you couldn't be that far in my life. Somebody said, if I know how to take the kingdom of God, I'd just get right up and get it. I'd just go right up there and get it. Now you couldn't do When the Bible said the saints shall take the kingdom, it means by faith. Their faith will increase, increase, increase. And they'll believe and believe until they believe that spiritual world in and believe themselves into that spiritual world.
Amen.
And believe themselves
into
Is that right?
Amen.
It's a translation by faith. You're taking control by faith. I was talking today, Brother Jimmy made a statement today. God don't judge you by nothing but faith.
Right.
Not by what you do or what you've done, but by faith. It's according to your believing that you have salvation.
Amen.
It is according to your believing that you have healing. It is according to your believing that you have prosperity. It is according to your believing that you are a Christian. Is that right? It's according to your faith. If you're not living right, you better start living right. Somebody says, why? So you go to heaven. They said, but Brother Pike, you said that didn't have nothing to do with it. It don't. You're not saved by anything you do.
No, it don't.
Say, but if I'm saved by faith, why should I do anything? Because faith is made perfect by work. You say, what do you mean by that? Hereby we assure our heart. When we do good deeds, it causes us to believe, and our believing is what saves us. Therefore, we need to do good deeds. Let everyone name Christ depart from iniquity. Let him maintain righteousness. Let him do good deeds. We hereby we assure our heart so that believing can take hold of eternal life, which is the Spirit of God. Is that right? All right, stand with me.